Please turn again to Genesis chapter 24. I want to preach today upon the subject, A Bride for Isaac. Let's read just a few verses from the beginning of this chapter again. Genesis 24, verses 1 to 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word again that has been read to us. And we just pray now as we turn to the sacred page to preach thy precious truth, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. We thank thee, Lord, for the leading in the life of Isaac. We thank thee for God's will being done in his life. And oh God, we pray in these days that we might know the will of God for our lives, that you would help us, Lord, to walk with thee. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee for thy mercy to us, that we're found in God's house today again, the living to praise thee. We pray now, Lord, that you would bless your precious word to every heart, that it might be a word in season. And oh God, that you would fill us with your gracious Holy Spirit, as we would seek to preach thy truth. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. After salvation, there's no more important decision for a young Christian to make than the decision of who they should marry. Isaac was 40 years old when he finally obtained a bride. Genesis chapter 24 is all about finding a wife for Isaac. And it is a tremendous chapter in the life of Isaac. Indeed, it is a tremendous chapter in the precious word of God. There's no doubt that when you read this chapter, and I'm sure that you have read it many times, child of God, that the choosing of a wife for Isaac was certainly done differently than the way in which we would choose a marriage partner today. A young man or a young woman seeking a partner for life in this 21st century would not allow their father, not alone a servant in the household, to choose a marriage partner for them. And yet, that is exactly what happened here in Genesis chapter 24. Abraham sent his servant to find a suitable wife for his son. Of course, Abraham, as he sent his servant to find a bride for Isaac, laid down certain guidelines of which we will be considering in a few moments' time. But Isaac did not see his bride until the day of his marriage. And yet, although Isaac had no choice in the choosing of his bride, the girl he married was in the plan and the will of God. If there's one thing that we learn from Genesis chapter 24, it is this. Those who truly desire God's will for their lives will know God's will in their lives. It is evident here that Abraham wanted the will of God for Isaac. It is also evident here that Isaac wanted the will of God for himself. And certainly as you study this passage of Scripture, Abraham's servant wanted the will of God for Isaac as well. And God's will was done, because it was God's will for Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. Young Christian, do you want God's will in relation to a marriage partner? If you do, God will reveal his will to you. Indeed, we should all want God's will in every area of our lives. As Christians, it is so important that whatever decision we make in life, that we know the mind and the will of God. But there is no decision more important than a married partner. And I pray that as we come to consider this portion of Scripture, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. And I pray that the Lord will teach us from His truth today. I want you to notice three things about choosing a bride or about choosing a marriage partner. First of all, I want you to notice the principle that must be applied. This principle that I'm going to refer you to now must always be applied when a Christian is choosing a marriage partner. And the principle is this: a Christian must always marry another Christian. Look at Genesis chapter 24, an underlined verse 3. Here we have Abraham speaking to the servant. "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell." Abraham commanded his servant not to take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites. Who were the Canaanites? The Canaanites were the pagans. The Canaanites were the unsaved in Isaac's day. But rather, Abraham's servant was to go and take a wife for Isaac among Abraham's own kindred. Look with me there at verse 4. "But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." As far as Abraham was concerned, his servant was not to take a wife for Isaac among the heathen, among the ungodly. And that's the principle that is laid down here. You know, child of God, this principle is a principle that God has laid down in His Word, not only in the Old Testament. And of course, we could also read Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And there again, we can see the principle laid down in the Old Testament as far as marriage, God's people are concerned. But it's also emphasized in the New Testament, this principle. Just keep your hand in Genesis chapter 24 there. And turn over for a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look with me there at verse 14. A very familiar text, I'm sure, to most of us. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking to God's people. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And there's another reference just over a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and look at verse 39. And again, this principle is set forth in the Word of God. It is a divine principle. It is a scriptural principle. Look with me at verse 39. "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will." Now underline this little phrase: "only in the Lord." Again, the principle is set forth as far as God's people are concerned, as far as those who are saved are concerned. And the principle is simple, and it's this: that the Christian is to marry in the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches, not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. When choosing a marriage partner, always choose someone who is saved and loves the Lord. Always choose someone who has the same scriptural beliefs that you have and who is dedicated to the cause of Christ. You know, the remarkable thing about Rebecca was that she was willing to go and be Isaac's wife, although she had never seen him. And I'm sure that you have noticed that As our brother Colin was reading the portion of scripture in Genesis chapter 24, Rebecca wanted God's will for her life as much as Isaac. Look with me there again at verse 55 of Genesis 24. And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebecca and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And she knew exactly the situation because she had been told the situation. And here Rebecca was willing to go because she believed that it was the will of God for her life. Oh, child of God, I pray that the Lord will write His word upon our hearts, and especially to the young people. Young Christian, when looking for a bride or a bridegroom, not only must you marry another Christian, that's the principle laid down in God's word, but I believe you must marry another Christian in the will of God. It's very evident here, and we're going to see it as we continue the message today, that God's will was done, and God's will was seen to be done. Now let me ask you a question. Is the girlfriend or boyfriend that you're going with your choice or God's choice? You see, Isaac wanted God's choice. And Abraham wanted God's choice for Isaac. And Rebecca wanted God's choice as well. And as I have emphasized, but let me emphasize it again because it is so important, they all wanted God's will to be done in this particular matter. So that's the principle. The principle that is laid down. But take a look with me again at Genesis chapter 24. And I want you to notice, secondly, the prayer that must ascend. The prayer that must ascend. You know, before Rebecca was chosen as a bride for Isaac, prayer was offered for God's will to be revealed. I wonder, did you notice that? Take a look at verse 12 of Genesis chapter 24, and you will see this. "And he said, this is Abraham's servant. O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Here we have Abraham's servant, and he's praying. And he's praying for guidance in this matter concerning a bride for Isaac. You see, before Rebecca was chosen as a bride for Isaac, a wife for Isaac, prayer was offered for God's will to be revealed. As we have said already, after salvation, the most important decision any young person has to make is who they should marry. Such an important decision should never be made without prayer and without seeking the face of God for guidance. Abraham's servant here is praying for guidance in this matter. I can't overemphasize that. That is of the utmost importance. And you'll notice that the prayer was answered. Look at verse 15. The prayer was answered immediately indeed. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, before he had done praying,
that behold Rebekah,
come out.
God always answers the prayers of his saints. God chose Rebekah for Isaac, and Rebekah was given as a direct answer to prayer. But notice something else here. Not only was prayer offered before Isaac and Rebekah were married, but prayer was offered after they both became husband and wife. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that before, but if you take a look at Genesis chapter 25, and take a look there at verse 21, we read about Isaac praying for Rebekah, and they're married at this stage. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. And if you take a look at Genesis 25 and verse 1, you'll read there how Rebekah prayed concerning the problem of her pregnancy. Look at the end of verse 22. And she went to inquire of the Lord. So here we have Isaac and Rebekah, and they're praying. And they've been married now for some time. Both Isaac and Rebekah demonstrated the wisdom and importance of prayer, not only before marriage, but after marriage. I do believe with all my heart, although it doesn't tell us in chapter 24, that both Isaac and Rebekah were praying for the will of God in this respect. But the truth is set forth clearly here, and it's a wonderful truth. Child of God, it is important for young couples thinking about marriage, thinking about a partner in life, to pray about it, to seek the face of God about who they should go with or who they should marry. It's of the utmost importance, because as I have already emphasized, it's one of the most important decisions that a young Christian will make. And of course, it's so important for husbands and wives to pray together. Those who pray together stay together. Could I say to young Christian couples planning to get married, pray together before you get married and continue to pray together after you get married, and you will have a happy marriage. And that can be seen in the life of Isaac and Rebekah. That can be seen here, I believe, very clearly in the life of this young couple. But I suppose really the point that I want to make is this. It's so important to seek the will of God in this matter. I could not emphasize that more. I believe that many young couples, and I'm speaking about Christian young couples, they get married without even praying very much about it at all, if at all. Oh, child of God, it's so important that we know God's will in this matter. It is so important for you as a young Christian to know that you're going in the right direction. Because if you make the wrong decision, well, you're just going to make shipwreck in your Christian life. Certainly, it's going to be a great hindrance to you as you seek to walk with God. So we have here the principle, and we have here the prayer. But I want you to notice something else here in Genesis chapter 24. I want you to consider the prosperity that will be assured. God blessed Isaac and Rebekah. God blessed this union between this young couple. Look with me at the end of the chapter, verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. God blessed the union between Isaac and Rebekah. You know, let me emphasize it again. After salvation, the greatest blessing in life is getting married in God's will. Finding that spiritual person, that special person to live with on earth is indeed a blessing beyond measure. Isaac found that person in Rebekah. Rebekah found that person in Isaac. Rebekah was the right girl for Isaac, and Isaac loved her, and she loved Isaac. Men and women, God's choice will never disappoint. God's choice will never disappoint. God will prosper those who are married in the will of God. God will bless such a union. And there's no doubt that when you study the life of Isaac and the life of Rebekah, that the Lord did indeed bless their marriage. There's a wonderful text of scripture. It's found over there in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Let me read it. Let me just emphasize these words to you. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, we have to say that I don't believe it's God's will for everyone to get married. And of course, there were many of God's servants in the Bible who never were married. But if it's God's will for you to get married, then whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And then there's a wonderful verse over in Hebrews in the New Testament. And of course, it's always good to compare what the Old Testament says with the New Testament and compare what the New Testament says to the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. It says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is honorable in all. Oh, I pray that the Lord will bless this passage of scripture to all of our hearts, but especially to the young people in our service today. And we have many young people in our congregation, and it's great to see them. And it's wonderful that many of them are saved and going on with the Lord. And I pray that the Lord will lead you on with himself, and that the Lord will bless you, young person, in your Christian life. But all the decisions that you have to make, all the decisions, not only the decision as far as a partner for life is concerned, but all the decisions that you have to make in life, that you will seek the Lord's face in prayer, that you will know his will, that you will know his guidance in all these things, because the Lord makes no mistakes. Now, I know that we like sometimes to know everything that's happening before it happens, but life's just not like that. And there are times when we have to leave things with the Lord. But I'll tell you this, if you leave your life with the Lord will not disappoint you. But of course, sometimes, indeed many times, young people want their own choices. They want their own choices. They want their own choices in who they should marry. They want their own choices in what job they should go to. They want their own choices in everything in life. But what about God's choice? What about God's will? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things shall be added unto you. Oh, I pray that you will seek the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But remember this, there's a principle that is set forth here. Christian must marry a Christian in the will of God. Not just any Christian. Not just any Christian. A Christian in the will of God. And if you want to know the Christian that you're to marry in the will of God, then pray for guidance. Seek the face of the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the Lord will prosper you and bless you. He will, because he has promised to do so. I wonder, is there someone here today and you're not saved? You're not born again of the Spirit of God. Well, of course, you need to pray the sinner's prayer. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, why sin away? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Maybe there are folk in the church today and you're married, but you're not saved. Oh, my friend, I pray that even this Lord's Day that you will bring Christ home with you, that you will invite him into your heart and life. Thank God he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And of course the reason why he was born in Bethlehem's manger was in order to go to the cross, and there upon Calvary's cross laid down his life, a ransom for the many. And I pray that even this Lord's Day that you will have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then you too can have eternal life and know what it is to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. May God bless these few thoughts to our hearts today. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for help. And we just pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in thy will. And, O God, that you would bless our young people. Give them the grace, Lord, to walk with thee. Indeed, give us all that grace, Lord, to walk with thee. Whatever decisions we have to make in life, O God, may we want the will of God. And may we seek the will of God. And may we do the will of God. O God, surely the greatest priority in life is to seek thy will. And, O God, the greatest privilege in life is to do thy will. O God, we thank thee and we praise thee for the way that you've led us down through our own lives. And Lord, you haven't been a disappointment. We thank thee for that, Lord. We praise thee, O God, that you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And O God, not only in the good times, but in the hard times, we thank thee for thy mercy to us. Lord, bless us now. Bless your word to our souls. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.